were people gathering in several areas, shopping areas, shopping malls. And then the police just kind of started firing tear gas.
It was a violent Christmas Eve in Hong Kong. This is Wednesday, December 25th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Also ahead, you'll hear from a VOA correspondent who has spent quite a while covering the Hong Kong protest. The U.S. president says he might get a vase as a holiday surprise from Kim Jong-un. Hopes for a peaceful Christmas were dashed in Hong Kong Tuesday after riot police fired tear gas and protesters set fire at various locations across the city that had been roiled by civil unrest for more than 6 months. Large crowds had gathered in several shopping malls in a busy tourist area in response to online calls to voice their discontent with the government and to demand greater democracy. The anti-government movement in Hong Kong, sparked by a controversial extradition law, has entered the seventh month and shows no signs of abating. Protesters say they won't give up unless the government meets their political demands, and they include universal suffrage and an independent investigation into police brutality. Verna Yu is covering Hong Kong for VOA, and she joins us. Verna, there seems to have been a lull of late in the protest. What happened Christmas Eve?
Online, there were calls for people to gather to protest. It started about 9 o'clock in the evening. There were people gathering in several areas, shopping areas, shopping malls, and then the police just kind of started firing tear gas shortly after 9 o'clock. They made some arrests, and then there were some clashes in shopping centers also, where police kind of got into a fight with some protesters. Some of the protesters suspected some people were undercover police, and then they got into a fight, and then the police, riot police, rushed in and started beating people. Yeah, it all started from there. And later on in the evening, people started putting roadblocks on the street, started setting fire on objects, and then they went on to set fire at a metro station entrance. They smashed up the front of an HSBC bank, which said that they suspended a bank account of a non-profit group which raised funds for protesters. And the police also issued a late-night statement saying that protesters threw Molotov cocktail at a police station.
From what you saw, how does this compare to what has been happening or not been happening over the past week or so, and as far as the number of the crowd and who started any violence? Was it the protesters or the police?
I actually think it's hard to tell who started the violence. I would say that from what I saw, there were people gathering, large crowds, and then some people started to put up roadblocks. I think the police were also quite nervous. Some people on the ground told me that they felt that the police were rather overreacting. Protesters were quite provocative also, but they felt that the police overreacted. There were large numbers of riot police present, it all started. The the verbal abuse that went on went both sides, and that has been happening for quite a few months now.
Well, it seems that New Year's Eve is the next next protest opportunity. Is that correct, or do you expect something before that?
There's a civil rights group which has called on a New Year New Year mass protest. So that will probably be the next big one. The last big one was also organized by the same, not tonight, but the last mass protest, which was attended by around 800,000 people, an estimated 800,000 people, that was organized by this group called Civil Human Rights Group as well. Last time it was also relatively peaceful, and it was a police-sanctioned protest. The next one is scheduled to be New Year, so we'll see whether the police will give permission for the next one. But it's usually the police-sanctioned one that tends to be more kind of like organized and peaceful. And what happened tonight? They were kind of they were scattered protests. They tend to be more out of control, I think.
Verna Yu joining us from Hong Kong. VOA Mandarin Service reporter Paris Wang looks back at the dramatic scenes of revolt over recent months in Hong Kong. What began as protest over a proposed extradition law, meaning Hong Kongers could face trial in China's Communist Party-controlled courts, unleashed years of pent-up frustrations over creeping control by Beijing and an intentional erosion of Cantonese culture. Here is VOA's Paris Wang with a first-hand account of his time covering the unrest.
There were protests everywhere. Tear gas.
Extradition bill.
Anti-government rally.
Violence in Hong Kong intensified overnight.
Vandalizing, and you can see the fire. You feel like a war zone. I was in Hong Kong from the end of August to the beginning of November, so about 2 months. There are casualties everywhere. I saw a female reporter was carried away. You can find the police being very easily agitated. They get angry right away because I know the protest is getting more and more violent. The Mong Kha station, it was all black. You can see the burn marks. The police asked the metro company. They shut down the metro, so the protesters have nowhere else to go. They enraged the protesters. They say they have the reason to vandalize a lot of stuff. I saw fire. I ran to the fire. I saw the black smoke. Came out so much after the smoke disappeared. I saw the sign, the Xiaomi store, which is a Chinese cell phone. I remember the China bank, their ATM were all broken. The water was dripping down from the ceiling. The companies owned by the Chinese or supporting the Hong Kongese government, they'll be vandalized. I think there's also difficult for the Hong Kong police to be in that situation for such a long time. They're also very tired. They've been pushed to the limit. And I saw there were several older women were yelling at the police. And I saw the police. They don't know how to react to that. They would just have their hands holding in front of their body. I wouldn't say they're kids, but they look like pretty young. There are so many protests every day, every weekend. I don't see a lot of people in coordinating, but people are just coming out on their own. Also office workers, they walk into the rally It finished after the lunch hour and people just went back to work. It's all very organic. And people would do flash mobs. One of the most iconic protest songs on this movement is Glory to Hong Kong. So one time I went to this shopping center called City Plaza. There was this guy playing harmonica. When you turn around, you see it was like 3, 4, 5 stories of the shopping mall. It was full of people. They're all singing Glory to Hong Kong. Send chills to your spine. You will feel that. It's like emotion. The streets are not just for the police and the protesters. Regular Hong Kongese residents live there too. They come out to shop, they come out to eat. At that moment, I can realize how mentally a burden that would be to regular Hong Kong residents.
VOA's Mandarin Service correspondent Paris Wong's account of his time covering the unrest in Hong Kong. VOA Asia continues now with the business scene. Private sleuth Sun Jurong brings heat detectors, tiny surveillance cameras, and a blow dart loaded with a tranquilizer to his search for one desperate client's missing loved cat. This man, dubbed by China's media as the nation's first pet detective, is a stony-faced animal lover who solves cases with the help of high-tech gear worth thousands of dollars.
We have advanced equipment. We have accumulated cases over the years to analyze the data. We could think of 10 things to do in our cognitive field, while the owner can think of one or two. Our success rate is 1 or 2 times better than the owner's.
With dogged determination, Sun has reunited around 1,000 missing pets and their owners since he lost his business 7 years ago. Clients pay $1,130 for the service provided by his company, which has 10 employees and is based in the eastern city of Shanghai. Sun often gets calls from anguished pet owners in the middle of the night and rushes to cities and towns across the nation to help. Dog ownership was banned as a bourgeois vanity under Chairman Mao Zedong, but Chinese society's views of pets have changed. There are now 91.5 million cats and dogs in the country, and about 10 other pet detectives have appeared over the past 2 years. Officials in one Indonesian city have hatched a plan to wean children off smartphones by giving them their own fluffy chicks to raise. About 2,000 four-day-old chicks will be handed out to pupils at elementary and junior high schools in Bandung in the coming weeks in an attempt to distract the kids from their gadget. Students must feed their new pets before and after and can keep them at home or on school premises if they don't have space in their backyard. Authorities in the city, around 150 kilometers southeast of the capital of Jakarta, have dubbed the unusual project Chickensation. At a ribbon cutting held Thursday, a dozen chicks in cages were distributed with a sign that read, "Please take good care of me." The project isn't just about curbing school kids' phone habits, he said. It's also part of a national plan to broaden pupils' education launched by President Joko Widodo. Mother Rayad Ratnasari was sold on the chicks, not smartphones plan and even expressed hopes it might encourage her son to become a poultry farmer.
Taking care of chickens is beneficial. While playing with smartphones, it just damages your eyes and students have less time to study. With these chickens, more time spent for feeding them in the morning, changing the water in the afternoon, and feeding again in the evening.
For VOA Business Scene, I'm Ira Mill. Thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, our engineer, Dan Crafton, managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Have a wonderful day.